We're just a few days out from a 4th of July fireworks display and a presidential visit to Mount Rushmore. SDPB's Seth Tupper has been covering the environmental and wildfire risks of the fireworks for some time now and the ongoing debate about whether or not to have them. You can find that reporting at sdpb.org. Today he's joining us for an update as we learn more about the size of the events and the scope of those events this week in the Black Hills. Seth is joining us from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio inside SDPB's Black Hills studio. Seth Tupper, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Laurie. Thanks for having me.
Let's go back and do a little history and talk first about how did we get here? How did we get to, you know, fireworks of the 4th of July in 2020? How far do you want to start backwards?
Yeah, well, it's important to know there weren't always fireworks at Mount Rushmore. You know, in the modern era, it really started, I think it was 1998, when the a renovation project was being finished at the memorial, a big expensive project, and there were people wanted to celebrate that, and there was a suggestion that let's do fireworks, and that kind of started everything up. And they did fireworks up through 2009. But during that time, the Park Service and other officials became increasingly aware of the fire risk. They had to have firefighters on hand. Some years there were 10 fires. Another year there were 7 fires that firefighters on foot, carrying bags of water on their backs and shovels, had to douse and smother immediately after the fireworks were over. And so over a period of time, they just decided that perhaps the risks were too great, and they discontinued the fireworks after 2009. And since then, they've learned that the chemical in the fireworks is polluting the well water out there, and that's continued to be a known issue. They've noticed over the years that there's still litter from some of those original shows. When the fireworks shells explode, some of the debris falls down and remains in the forest. And so that was why there weren't fireworks up until the decision was made this year to start them up again.
What happened this year? What's different now?
Well, after Governor Kristi Noem took office in 2018, she had a chance to talk with President Trump and asked him to bring the fireworks back. It had been an issue in the tourism industry for a long time. Those images and videos that are flashed around the world of those iconic shots of fireworks exploding over the heads of Mount Rushmore are considered to be very good advertising for the tourism industry. And so Governor Noem asked President Trump to help, and according to her, he took a keen interest in it, and an agreement was struck that the feds and the state would do what they can to study this and bring the fireworks back. And that triggered an environmental review that concluded in April and determined that the fireworks would not have a significant impact on the environment out there because the known impacts like wildfire and the water pollution could be sufficiently managed. And so that was essentially the green light, and here we are.
Has the wildfire risk changed? I know we're coming off of 2 years of higher precipitation in the Black Hills, and we just had the wildfire outlook yesterday with Darren Klebo, and it's a drier year. It's a hotter year. There's more risk right now. How does that playing into the conversation for this 4th of July?
Yeah, and it hasn't really changed. That's one of the interesting things that you hear a lot of times proponents of the fireworks say, well, the only reason that we stopped doing that was because of the mountain pine beetle infestation. And people might recall that there was a mountain pine beetle epidemic in the Black Hills that killed millions of trees, and it went below epidemic levels in 2016, I think it was. And it killed a lot of trees, but the thing is, a lot of those dead trees are still out there in the forest. And so there's a man named Bill Gabbert who has been interviewed a lot by myself and others in the lead up to this, who used to manage the fire response at the memorial during the original fireworks. He was always opposed to it, and he's of the opinion that the fire risk is as great today as it ever was. And so the risk is there, but the thought is that that it can be managed, and it has been managed in past years, and the small fires that started were put out. But of course, the question always is, what if a fire escapes and grows larger? And that's always the risk that's taken.
Yeah. We're learning more this week, Seth, about what the other events around the 4th of July, which is actually the fireworks are on July 3rd, correct?
Correct, on Friday.
Yeah, so we're learning, Friday, July 3rd. We're learning more about other events and the presidential visit and who's coming with him. What do we know that we maybe didn't know a week or two ago?
Yeah, so in the last couple of weeks, details have really emerged that this has become somewhat of a Black Hills-wide extravaganza as different groups have planned events to capitalize and celebrate the fireworks. So it kind of begins tomorrow. The College Republicans, South Dakota College Republicans, are hosting an event with Charlie Kirk, who is a person who founded a conservative nonprofit student organization called Turning Point USA. They have an event with him tomorrow night at the Ramcota in Rapid City. And then over the course of Thursday and Friday, there is something called a Rapid City Roundup Retreat that is essentially a fundraiser for the Trump campaign and some other entities, where President Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., will be there. And there's been advertisements for that of up to $5,000 for two dinner and reception attendees, and some lesser fees for people that don't attend the dinner. But there'll be fundraising going on at that event, and that's over the course of Thursday and Friday. And then Friday, there will be an event in downtown Rapid City here at Main Street Square, put on by the Pennington County Republican Party, where they will have live streaming of the fireworks on the big screen there in Main Street Square. And there'll be the latest I've seen from the party is that Kellyanne Conway, advisor to the president, Donald Trump Jr., will both be there. So will Mike Lindell, who's the CEO of the MyPillow company, who's been a Trump ally. And also Friday, there'll be another event out at the Fort Hays Chuckwagon area, just outside of Rapid City, which is a popular tourist spot out there. Well, they will also have speakers and entertainment. And then Saturday, I forgot, there's another event called the AMP Fest, which is put on by essentially a for-profit company that supports Donald Trump, where there'll be speedway races and celebrity appearances and food and drink and kind of a festival atmosphere. So, you know, basically all through the week through Saturday, there's events happening out here.
Right. And the layers of this and the context of this also includes a global pandemic in places like California and Texas and areas in the South who are really struggling with spikes and outbreaks even during the summer. So as you are kind of looking through some of the communication and the way these events are being planned and you're doing interviews, what are you hearing about pandemic precautions?
Yeah, and the main thing we heard was a couple of weeks ago when the state officials announced there would be a lottery for tickets to this event. They're going to allow 7,500 people in, and those tickets have already been awarded. Governor Noem said at that press conference that they originally had a plan to enforce social distancing, but they decided not to do that. And the latest info I've gotten, I spoke yesterday to one of the governor's advisors and to somebody in the tourism department, was that there will be signage at the event, just stating that it's a good idea to engage in social distancing, and there will be masks that will be available if anybody wants one, but nothing will be required. And so it'll be, as Governor Noem has said, that she expects people to exercise personal responsibility. She expects that if you're sick or if you're in one of the at-risk or vulnerable categories, you should stay home and look after yourself at this event. And there will apparently be people from other states there. When the state released the fact that there were apparently 125,000 applications for the 7,500 tickets, most of those applications came from South Dakota, but the next highest number of applications came from California, where we know they're having a spike in COVID infections right now.
All right. What do we know so far about the costs? And this is something that, you know, when you have tourism and you have campaign events and you have Secret Service, there's layers to that as well. What do we know so far about how much is this costing taxpayers?
Well, we know a couple of concrete things. In recent months, the National Park Service did a prescribed burn or a controlled burn up at Mount Rushmore to try to burn off some of the dead vegetation and other things that would otherwise maybe catch and cause a large wildfire. So they burned that off, and the reported cost of that was about $30,000 to conduct that burn. So that's a cost so far to taxpayers spread out throughout the country, federal taxpayers. We know that the fireworks themselves will cost up to $350,000, and that's a contract that the State Tourism Department awarded to a California company called Pyro Spectaculars. And so there has been talk, and I've done interviews with state officials and officials in the tourism department and the governor's office, and they've said numerous times over the last few months that they hope to either do a federal cost-sharing agreement on that or find private donations to offset that cost. But so far, as of yesterday, They said they weren't ready or able to release any details on that. And so at this point, you know, South Dakota taxpayers would be on the hook for that $350,000 cost for the fireworks. And then, of course, there'll be costs, you know, for the Secret Service to prepare the Rushmore area and sweep it, you know, ahead of the event. There'll be costs incurred by local sheriff's departments and the highway patrol for traffic control and public safety during the event. And those, of course, are all yet to be tallied.
Yeah. Speaking of traffic control, the last time I came to the Black Hills in general, and this was not to Mount Rushmore, over the 4th of July weekend, I think I white-knuckled it the whole way on I-90 because of the amount of traffic and how fast it was moving at first, and then, of course, a major slowdown. You've lived in the Black Hills for quite some time. What do you sort of anticipate some of the logistics challenges to be in and around this area for a day like the 4th of July and, oh, by the way, a presidential visit?
I would say it's going to be a very, very big challenge. As I've mentioned to you before, I've been out to Mount Rushmore on a July 4th when there was no fireworks and no presidential visit, and traffic was bumper to bumper from the memorial all the way back down to Keystone. People's cars were overheating as they were idling with their air conditioner running on, you know, on asphalt and concrete and in the 90 degree heat, and cars were breaking down and people were walking alongside the road. And so you can take that and multiply it by, you know, the fireworks being there and the president being there. And, you know, local officials, the Custer County Sheriff and others, are advising people that you should be ready if you're going to try to get a vantage point somewhere to watch the fireworks, that you might be stuck in your car for 3 or 4 hours stuck in traffic, and you better have water along and a plan for restroom needs and that kind of thing. And so it'll be a very challenging day logistically for everybody who's out there. And the local authorities are asking, you know, for patience and understanding and just kind of bracing themselves for a big day.
For what's to come. Seth Tupper, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much. You can find Seth's coverage at sdpb.org leading up to now and in the days ahead. Seth, thank you.
You're welcome.